Friends, turn to John chapter 10 that we have read together. One of the many images painted by John the Apostle in his wonderful gospel, probably the most descriptive, is that of Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. Not merely a shepherd, but the Good Shepherd. For like a shepherd, Jesus is concerned with the welfare and the care of his sheep. As Jesus Christ delivers this sermon to his disciples and those who were about him on the heels of healing of a blind man that took place in the previous chapter. In chapter 9, he healed that blind man in the temple. He clearly declares his identity and plainly states his purposes and plans. He tells us what he's here for. In these verses, I hope you can see this. Can you not see the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ displayed here? What he brings out from his heart? Here he shows his great love for sinners and his plan for dealing with our sins, with the sins that we commit day after day and the great debt that we incur against the Holy God, and how he would take our sin debt away. He is the Good Shepherd. Always remember, children, whenever you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, you think he is good. And he is a Good Shepherd. He is the one who would care for me. Do you know him as your shepherd? Can you say the words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, the shepherd of our souls"? I read some time back of two men who were called upon in a large classroom to recite the 23rd Psalm. One of the men was a sort of a theatrical performer who was trained in speech and in the various techniques and in drama. And he repeated the words of the Psalm 23 in a very powerful way. And when he finished, the audience applauded him, they cheered for him, they wanted him to repeat it again. And then there was another man, an older man, and he repeated the same words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But when he finished, no sound came from those children in that large classroom. Instead, those children sat up in deep and somber mood and devotion, and some of them were even praying. That first man, who was the performer, stood up on his feet and he said, "I have a confession to make." He said that the difference between what you have just heard from my old friend here and what you heard from me is this: I know the psalm, but my friend knows the shepherd. That's the difference. You can know the psalm, but do you know the shepherd? Do you know this one who is referred to here, the Good Shepherd, that the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the Good Shepherd"? So as you hear this message this morning, I want you to ask this question of yourself: do I really know the shepherd? I know the psalm. I've heard it preached before. And it, in various ways, it comforts me. And yet, do I know the shepherd? And if you say, "Yes, I do know him," well, praise God. But then the question is, how is your walk with him? How is your walk? How is your life in the shadow of the Good Shepherd? Are you following him? If you don't know him, then I want you to know that this is a message that you need to hear, because during these next few minutes, you're going to hear firsthand from the Bible itself the way of salvation, which is knowing the Good Shepherd. These verses teach us that Jesus possesses, he has certain qualities that qualifies him to be this who is called the Good Shepherd. So think about it this morning for a few minutes, to look into this passage, you see for yourself why Jesus Christ deserves this title. There is nobody else like him. And you go along with me and to see him as the good shepherd. And it is our prayer, and it should be your prayer, that you would hear his voice and follow him. There are a number of things that I want to point you to in this passage. First of all, the true shepherd must come in the right way. The true shepherd must come in the right way. That's the first point that I have, and I want us to think about the first five verses that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, he talks about coming, some people coming in the wrong way. And the true shepherd, he comes in the right way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So here we are told a number of things that make up the good shepherd, and it points us to Jesus Christ. So first is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the right way by coming to fulfill God's promises. He came in the right manner. He came as it was promised. Jesus uses this imagery of the sheepfold to illustrate his message. A sheepfold, as you can imagine, it was a circular wall about 10 feet tall with a single opening. There is a single entrance into the sheepfold that served as a door. And several flocks of sheep could be placed into the sheepfold that night. And with one of the shepherds, it would lie in the opening to serve as the door. So nothing could get in or nothing could get out of that sheepfold without having to go through the shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us and telling his audience that only thieves and only robbers seek to enter the sheepfold by another means beside the door. The shepherd, however, always comes in the right way. And the Lord Jesus Christ proves that he is the shepherd that he's talking about, and the shepherd of the sheep, because he came into the world in the right way, in the right manner. He entered according to a certain plan. He had presented his credentials to his people. And you think about this. How did he come? How did this shepherd come? He had been virgin born. That's how he came, through the womb of the virgin. The promise was made that there is one who is going to come, who would be the Savior, who would be the good shepherd. And Isaiah tells us this, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that's exactly how Jesus Christ came. He came through the womb of the Virgin Mary. Again, how did he come? He had to be born in Bethlehem. This is how the good shepherd would come. He wouldn't come through over the walls, but he would come in the right way. Bethlehem. If he was born any other place, he would be a thief and a robber. But we read in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And then, how did he come? He had to come in the fullness of time, at the right time. Not a day earlier, not a day later, but when the fullness of the time was come, Paul says in Galatians 4. It's when the right time came, when the appointed time came, when the fixed time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He had to also been brought out of Egypt. You remember as a child, he was taken into Egypt to escape. And Hosea tells us in Hosea 11 and verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And the Gospels tell us that was the fulfillment of that prophecy. But also his arrival was provoked, or it provoked the rage of the enemies. And the arrival of Christ, it caused many to cry out with bitter weeping because of the death of their children and how Herod murdered those children. And so Jeremiah says this, Jeremiah 31, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. All of these things join themselves to tell us the good shepherd came in the right way. That's the point that the Lord Jesus Christ was making. He was the right person, born in the right place, arriving at the right time, summoned from the right country, and attended by the right signs. He has all the credentials necessary to prove that he is the good shepherd. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came with all of those right credentials, the porter opens the way. Now, have you ever noticed that? Who is the porter who opens the way? Have you thought about that? That's a homework for you to go and study for yourself. Could this porter be the Holy Spirit who opens the way of Jesus Christ coming powerfully to a person and saving a person? God the Father. But I'll leave that to you for your study. But the porter opens, and the good shepherd comes in. His way is opened, and he has free access to his sheep. The point here is not about the porter. The point here is not about the walls around the sheepfold. The point here is not even about the sheep. The point the Lord Jesus Christ is making is about the good shepherd. So don't get distracted. But he calls also in the right way. There may be several flocks sharing the same sheepfold. However, when the shepherd of the sheep walks up to the door and he calls his sheep, They instantly recognize his voice. They instantly respond to him, not to another shepherd. They know his call. They know his voice. And friends, there are many voices which compete with your attention. This morning, maybe. Throughout the week, there are voices that are coming, things that are saying, listen to me. Don't listen to the Bible. Don't trust in these things. Those are just for religious fanatics. The message of the Bible is just for weak people. They didn't know. This was written so many thousands of years ago, they would say, and this is not really for us today. Science has proved the Bible, or disproved the Bible, they would tell us. And so it's not really for us. It's just a religious book. We have now moved on. The modern man has moved on. Those are the voices that comes to you. They compete with your for your attention. But there is this special note. There is this special voice. The voice of the Lord. When he calls, everything changes. And that's what we should pray for. Lord, speak to me. The lost sinner is dead until he is awakened by the Holy Spirit and until he hears the voice of Jesus crying out, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus Christ called him out. And that dead man, Lazarus, came out of his tomb. And he must call us out. Is he calling you, Christian? You listen to him? Or we can say, well, I'm hearing. Do you listen? Do you hearken? You actually follow what he says to you. You can say, well, I've got these words in the book. They're black and white before me. I will read it. There is a difference between hearing and listening. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, sends out his voice. He calls out. The voice of the Good Shepherd is the only one that can awaken a dead heart. He's the only one that can give us hope. He's the only one that it sounds right to the desperate soul. All other calls sound empty. All other calls are frightening when compared to the sweet call of the Lord Jesus Christ. You listen to this world and you will be filled with confusion. You listen to the world around you and you will be filled with fear. But you listen to Christ, the fear is replaced with faith. So he calls. His sheep hears. And then in verses 4 and 5, there is this command. He commands his sheep in a right way. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So when the shepherd calls, his sheep come forth. He goes before them, and they instinctively, they follow him. He doesn't have to drive them. See, do you know who has to be driven? It's the goats that need to be driven, not the sheep. And here, the shepherd, he just leads them. He leads them out, and they follow him, close behind him. What a truth this is. When a soul is saved by the grace of God, that person will have a desire, however weak it may be. It's not a perfect desire. All kinds of problems in that faith. It's a weak faith. And that person might fall into all kinds of things through that life. But what you see, there is this desire. I want to follow him. I want to follow him. Oh, yes, I'm very weak, and my faith is as small as a mustard seed, but I want to know him. I want to grow. I'm not happy to stay in where I was. I want to follow the Good Shepherd. There is that desire. And when a person is saved and their heart is right with God, they do not have to be begged to come to worship. They don't have to be begged to give, to serve, to witness, and so on. They are hearing his voice. They've been called, you see, out by the shepherd, and they have a burning burden to worship him. Their heart's desire is summed up by glorifying God. That individual wants to now glorify God. Before, he was living for self. She was living for self. Everything revolved around him or her. But then now he thinks, even in my drinking and in my eating, I want to give him praise. I want to thank him. I want to glorify him. Whether therefore ye eat and or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. There is nothing smaller than or less significant than eating and drinking. But the apostle says that's the Christian wants to give God the glory. And so we bow our heads, we give him thanks, we praise him for the smallest morsel that we have. So here is the true shepherd. He must come in the right way. And Jesus Christ has come in the right way. He is not a robber. He is not a thief. You see, those people who are calling you out and saying, if you do this, you will be a miserable man. If you follow Jesus Christ, you will be a miserable person. But if you follow me, you'll be happy. You'll be glad. You will enjoy these things. These are sweet things that you will enjoy. Well, they are thieves and robbers. They want to steal your soul. They want to destroy and misuse you. And then, friends, the second thing is this, verses 6 through to 10. I want us to think about the true shepherd has the right character. It didn't just come in the right way, but he has the right character. Verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, But they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Sometimes we might think, oh, if I only heard the voice of Jesus, if he only spoke to me, then I would understand. Wouldn't it be good? You know, when those of you who are Christians and you go to heaven, who do you want to hear? Christ, of course. But he's speaking to us in his word. And when he was with his disciples, he spoke to them, and they didn't always understand what he was saying. You might read this passage and you think, well, it is clear enough. I understand the spiritual implications of it. But Christ was there in front of them, and he was speaking to them, and they didn't understand. So remember, be patient, pray, seek the Lord, wait upon the Lord for the right understanding. But here he shows his character, that is right character. He shows his personality in verses 6 through to 8. In these verses, the Lord Jesus shows his identity as the door, he says. Look at it, verse 7. He says this, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." If you will remember, there was only one opening for going into and going out of the sheepfold. And it was in this opening that the shepherd would lay down. Therefore, the shepherd himself became the door of the sheep, and nothing could enter the fold, and nothing could come out of that fold and exit it without going through the shepherd himself. And if anyone desires entrance into the fold of God, there is only one door, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the only way to the Lord. And that, to the ears of many people, and it's not just today, but any age, at any time, that is too harsh, that is too narrow, that is too exclusive. And yet the Lord says this in Ephesians 2:18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." It's only through him we have access to the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says that, "I am the door." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And this truth is abundantly clear in the Bible. We read in 1 John that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is spiritual life. So Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He is the door. Any other way leads to what? It leads to death. Any other way you try to seek salvation, any other way, it will lead to damnation. "Enter ye in at the straight gate," the Lord said, "for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because a straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And this may seem to be narrow-minded, and out of a step with the way of thinking of people. However, it is perfectly in line with what God has said in his word. It's what God has revealed that counts. We read this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So there is only one mediator. There's one who can come between you and God. Not Peter, not Pope, not the Mary, not any minister, not any man, except the God-man, Jesus Christ. And then something else we see of his work. Verse 9, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." The Lord Jesus Christ plainly tells us, and his hearers, that he alone is the door into God's eternal salvation. He promises, friends, to those who enter in, that they will be saved. This is the promise. Will you believe it? Will I believe it? Do I trust this? Or do I come with all kinds of doubts and questions? His promise to those who enter in that they will be saved. That is, they will be rescued from the wrath of God. They will be rescued. They will experience the fullness of God's perfect salvation. And when we talk about being saved, it's important for you to understand this. And we use these things and they become cliches. But to be saved, it is to be rescued. Rescued from what? From all harm and danger. Sin is a dangerous thing. Sin is a deadly thing. And sin will ruin you. Another thing that we have against us because of our sin is God, God Himself. He must punish those who sin. He must punish all of those who are under the guilt of sin, who have offended Him, offended His law. And Jesus saves, the Good Shepherd saves us from the bondage, the power of sin, and makes us right with this holy God that we have offended. How does He do that? Says the Good Shepherd lays down His life. That's how. How did He lay down His life? By dying for us. For His sheep to rescue them, He laid His life down and He was punished. He was crucified. And then look at His promise. He says this, if any man, verse 9, enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am come that they might have life, He says in verse 10, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's His promise. The thief is a threat to the sheep. When a thief enters the fold, his primary purpose is to use the sheep for his own personal gain. He doesn't care about their welfare. The good shepherd, yet, on the other hand, comes so that the sheep might experience a life that is immeasurably better. He cares about them. He cares about them more than his own life. And he promises them a new and better life in himself. So, my friends, everything changes when a person meets with the Lord Jesus. When he enters a life, it cannot remain the same. He gives us the ability to live a life for His glory, to live apart from the pressures and the things that this world is under. He makes us to love better things and to do something with our lives that will glorify Him. He gives us the reason why we exist. The Lord Jesus Christ makes the difference between a life that is lived for the devil. And as I say this, it's a horrifying thing to think a life that is lived for the devil. That's the difference. A life that is lived for the devil and a life that is lived for the Lord. This is what we read in Ephesians 2. Let me quote it to you. Ephesians 2 and verses 1 through to 4. And you hath He quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. That was your lifestyle. You lived like the world. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. This is what we did. This is the desires of our flesh. That's what we were bound to, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. God's wrath was upon us. But then this, but God. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. But God. This was it. We were living for the devil, but now we live unto God. So those are the two things. The true shepherd comes in the right way. The true shepherd has the right character. And finally, the third thing is this. The good shepherd, the true shepherd, shows concern for his sheep. He shows his concern for his sheep. How do we know this? His concern is proven by the fact that he sacrifices himself. He lays down his life for us. Look at verses 11 and through to 13. I am the good shepherd. Why is that? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Meaning, the good shepherd cares for his sheep. And so the Lord Jesus is proving and showing the difference between the concerned shepherd and the hireling. Who is the hireling? He's a wage worker. He's someone who is hired for work. He gets paid at the end of the day. He's there just to get the money, not necessarily what he does. The hireling is there only for the money that he gets. When trouble comes, he runs away. He leaves the sheep to be devoured by the wolves. But the shepherd, on the other hand, owns the sheep. He owns them. They are his sheep, not someone else's sheep. He's not getting paid for the sheep, for looking after the sheep. No. And he has vested interest in their welfare. Therefore, the good shepherd is willing to pay any price to protect the sheep. Even if it means that he has to give his very life for them. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He doesn't say to someone else to go and save the sheep. He himself lays his life down. So the Lord Jesus, hasn't he proven to us that he is the good shepherd? Didn't he see this danger that we were in? Didn't he see the danger that all of these people who are like sheep gone astray? Didn't he see the danger that we were in? And didn't he do everything that he could in his power to save us? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This waywardness, this sin that is in us, has separated us from God and has made us to be lost in this world. And so many are lost. Worse than that, the sin of man has brought him under God's wrath. It's not just that we are lost, but we are under God's wrath. And my friends, you see, this is the issue. Sometimes, and I was listening to Radio 4 that speaks only the truth. I'm joking here. It doesn't speak the truth. This person was saying, you see, the world is a broken world. This is a minister was saying. It's a broken world. See, if we talk about being broken and not talk about sin, what are we saying? We are the ones who are victims. Something has been done to us. Look at us. We need to be pitied. But sin is an offense against the holy God. We are attacking his throne. Sin attacks the very foundation of who God is. Sin is the thing that wants to ungod God, wants to destroy him. And that is why it is a great offense to God. Yes, we are broken. But there's much more to it than that. This condition will eventually culminate in every lost sinner being cast into that eternal hell. That is why it is so essential for us to consider these things. And then as you consider this, you think about the good news. This is the point. The good shepherd does something. He lays his life down. He gives his life down for the sheep. The gospel is this, that Jesus Christ did something to change that. And since God has said that the wages of sin is death, Jesus Christ came from heaven and he put down his life. He was crucified on the cross so that we might receive eternal life. The terrible death that Jesus was called upon to endure for sinners. There is no more horrible death than anyone can know. than the death of the crucifixion that our Savior suffered. It says this in Isaiah, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." He was beaten, he was mocked, he was spat upon, he was slapped, he had his beard plucked from his face, he was whipped, he was forced to wear a crown of thorns which were driven deep into his skull, he was tormented, he was blasphemed, he endured all of these things simply because he loved the souls of men. And he endured these things for his sheep. And yes, beyond this, he endured the awesome wrath of the Almighty God against all sin. And so when Jesus Christ was on that cross, he literally stood in our place. That's what it means that he became sin for us. He was judged in our place. By his priceless sacrifice for the sheep, he deserves the title of the Good Shepherd. And some people ask, well, why? Why did Jesus have to die? The answer is simple. Because blood has to be shed. It's required to redeem the soul from sin. Blood has to be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And when Jesus died, he shed his blood. And later, after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. And he offered up himself as a perfect sacrifice on the mercy seat of heaven. Thank God for the blood that he shed. Thank God for the blood of Christ. It's the sinner's only plea. Peter says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." He had to die, friends, so that you might live. And then another thing is this. His concern. His concern is proven by his sheep. Look at verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." His concern is proven by his sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the bond that exists. There is this relationship that exists between the shepherd and his sheep. Oh, so much of relationships today is temperamental. So much of it is not real relationship. It's very superficial. I was talking to someone last night and saying the superficial relationships that exist. We have so much to connect us with one another, and yet there is very little relationship. That's why we need face-to-face conversations. That's why online things are not good enough. We need to be together, or there will be a disconnect. The individual sheep knows the Savior. And when you think about it, the individual sheep looks alike to the untrained eye. You look at a flock of sheep, all look the same, don't they? All look the same. But how does the good shepherd know the difference? From knowing one or two shepherds in my life, I know that the shepherd who knows his sheep knows the difference by the weaknesses of each sheep, by the weaknesses, by the defects, by the peculiar traits of the sheep. How do you know the differences between your sheep to a shepherd? And he says, look at this one. Look at how it walks. Look at this one is half blinded and so it is squinting. Look at this one. His wool is not just right. You look at that one. It has a black mark on it. Look at this one is limping. Look at this one as an ear that is half torn out. And observing all of them, the believer thinks about the Lord Jesus Christ and how the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, of the sheep knows us individually. He knows your individual weaknesses. He knows your individual failings. He watches over all of his members with discerning love, with sympathetic understanding. He, with infinite concern, he notes the doubts, he notes your fears, he notes your trials, he records your conflicts and defeats and the disturbance of your peace. He knows it all, and he swiftly comes to our aid. May I remind you, Christ is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd who knows his sheep. He knows everything that there is to know about you. You think you know yourself. You think you know other people. You don't. You don't know other people, and you don't know yourself. I don't know others, and I don't know myself. And yet the Lord knows. And he said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Don't we hear, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He knows every strength. He knows every weakness. He knows every joy. He knows every one of your burdens. He knows when you're walking on the mountains and when you're in the valleys. He knows your victories and every battle, and he stands ready to help you, the scripture says, in your time of need. Is he your good shepherd? Do you know him? The scripture speaks of the Lord as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see. The Lord will see. But he proves his concern by his salvation too. And with this I finish. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it plain that there will be other sheep that will come along afterward. The sheep that are not of this fold, he says. These sheep can be assured of being saved, just like those who were at that time when the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of. He's speaking of the Gentiles, the non-Jews that will come, and others who will come afterwards. My friends, when faith is placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation is always the result. And this salvation is complete in Christ. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And this salvation is eternal. Trust in him, my friends. It is eternal. And I give unto them, he says in verses 28 and onwards, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is the good news, my friends. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who died for sinners. And if you and I, we go to him, even this morning, and place our trust in him, he saves us. You see, salvation, this salvation that the Lord Jesus provides is open to sinners. He is still the door. He is still the good shepherd. He's still out on the mountains of sin, searching for those who are lost and away from the fold. And there is one who is lost. There's one who is lost who is to be found. What is your response then? Is it by faith? What's your answer then? Do you know the shepherd, and does he know you? Your answer determines where you can expect to spend eternity. Your answer to that question will make all the difference between heaven and hell. If you know the shepherd, you can rejoice in the fact that he will ever be with you and that he will ever watch over you. If you don't know him, then I urge you, I invite you to come to him even now. You don't have to, nor should you, want to wait. Delay is dangerous in Christian things. Delay is ever dangerous in spiritual things because you don't know if you have tomorrow. How would you live? This is what we were saying this morning in our family worship. How would you live today if you knew that this week was your last week? How would you live? All of us would be very different in the way we would live, both the unconverted and the believer. We would live very differently, I believe. Well, may today this be a challenge to each one of us. Live today as it is, as if it is your last day. May God then bless these things to us. Amen.